Bonjour et bienvenue à Politico Tech. I'm your host, Stephen Overly. It's Tuesday, April 2nd, and I am back at the mic after a week in France. Many thanks to my colleagues for filling in while I was away, but I'm ready to put down the croissants and get back to it. You may have caught the news late Monday that the US and UK have signed an agreement to effectively join forces on artificial intelligence research and safety testing. Now, we already knew this partnership was in the works. The countries first announced those plans back in November, when the UK hosted world leaders for a much-hyped summit on AI safety. Well, the Memorandum of Understanding unveiled Monday provided a bit more detail on what that will look like. But frankly, not much. There are still a lot of unanswered questions about how this AI alliance will actually work in reality, especially as both countries chase their own laws and regulations. I took those questions to UK Tech Secretary Michelle Donlan during a sit-down interview yesterday at the British Embassy. Secretary Donlan has been on the podcast before, twice in fact, touting the UK's AI ambitions on the global stage. But I wanted to hear about the nuts and bolts, how all of this is going to really play out. Here's what she had to say. All right. Well, Secretary Donlan, welcome back to Politico Tech.
Thank you. Really excited to be here again and chatting to you.
I know, in person.
I know. Yeah. So much better in person.
I know you're here to sign this Memorandum of Understanding with the U.S., and I want to get into the details of that. First, though, I'm hoping we can zoom out a little bit. If you look at the global landscape for AI regulation, where's the most sort of aggressive or forward-leaning regulation coming from right now?
So I think there are different tacks. The EU have taken a very progressive tact on legislation, whereas we in the United Kingdom are much more closely aligned to the United States in terms of our approach. And what we have tried to do is be pro-innovation and not strangle the industry at birth. We want it to grow and to flourish so that we can deploy the benefits to our public services and our businesses and our general population at large. But we do have to be mindful of the risks that are attributed to this technology, which is the fastest emerging technology we've ever seen. And we have to work internationally on that. So whilst countries will take different approaches, and I think that's right, we have to have some commonality and some coordination, which is what we wanted to foster and achieve by setting up the first ever AI safety summit back in November that we talked about at Bletchley Park. And I think what that actually started was somewhat of a Bletchley effect. It really catapulted some nations' thinking on this agenda and got them to grip the topic much more seriously and consider the way that they could potentially mitigate against it with things like institutes, but also how we could work closely on it. And that was the first of many summits. And we look ahead now to the next one in Korea in just a couple of months.
Well, so that summit was actually 5 months ago to the day, in fact.
Wow.
Time flies. What tangible progress have the UK and the US made on the sort of agreement to work hand in hand when it comes to AI regulation?
So I think that today is pivotal in that because we have signed this MOU, which really formalizes that agreement to work hand in glove together, or lockstep if you like, on this incredibly important agenda. And what we've agreed is that our institutes from now will share expertise. And we have some top talent in the UK on our institute. People like Jeffrey Irvin from Google DeepMind, people like Jade Leung from OpenAI, we've got people from academia, people from civil society. And I know that the United States government are in the process of attracting some top talent as well. So we'll be sharing those expertise. We'll be working together on shaping the evaluations of the models, which is an emerging science in its own right. Now, we in the UK have already begun doing those evaluations, both pre and post deployment, so we can assist the United States whilst you set up your institute and you get to the position that you'll be able to do testing of models. And we can also make sure that we are equally specializing, so we're dividing and conquering on this agenda so that we can be much more effective when it comes to prioritizing the safety of AI whilst also seizing the incredible opportunities.
You know, you mentioned this sort of sharing of AI expertise. What does that actually look like? Is there like an executive swap program or a diplomat swap program?
What it looks like is secondments both ways. It looks like us sharing information as well, sharing expertise when it's needed on specific research around AI. So let's not forget that the risks are still emerging as this technology does, and we need to stay on top of those risks. That's why part one of the things that we established as a result of Bletchley was an AI international safety report that's led by Joshua Bendio, which is basically like a state of all the AI research so that we can really stay on top of those risks. But that's something that the institutes need to be doing too by conducting their own research and by pooling our combined expertise of both the United States government and the UK government, we can maximize our effectiveness on this agenda.
So the UK's AI Safety Institute is a bit further developed, I'd say, than the US model or the US Institute. Is right now a process of sort of getting the US Institute set up and up to speed so that it can kind of be a partner to what the UK is doing?
You're right. Our institute is fully funded, fully set up. We have an excellent core team and we're adding to that team constantly in terms of international expertise. And we also rely on civil society and external pools of resource as well. And we offer now something that the United States can lean on for a little bit whilst they're in the process of setting up their institute. But they're already starting to work together. And of course, I've spoke to Secretary Raimondo today, and this is us working in complete lockstep with the same vision when it comes to AI as to how we can seize these opportunities for our general publics and how we can really lean into this agenda to promote innovation whilst also gripping the risks.
Out of that meeting, did you come away with a specific milestone that the two countries are looking to achieve or set sort of a timeline for delivering tangible results from this partnership?
Well, the partnership's already started, and we know that this year is a pivotal moment in this journey, if you like, with the next generation of models about to come out. That means that we have to act quickly. We have to be agile in our approach, and that's why evaluations are so important. Of course, this isn't all down to governments. We expect the companies to continue with rigorous safety regimes. And that's what we wanted to shine a spotlight on in Bletchley, with getting them to actually publicize their safety regimes for the first time ever, which we achieved, and publicizing a document to coincide with that, which highlighted all the best practice so you could compare and contrast. But our work with the United States has already long begun. Today, what we're doing is formalizing and articulating that relationship and cementing it. And the secondments will start imminently. We will begin working together on evaluations. And within the next quarter, we will be evaluating together public models already that are out there. So this is very much a work in train and one that has to work swiftly, given the pace of change that we're seeing.
Well, so I know part of the agreement is to jointly assess a public AI model. Mm. And so it sounds like that will happen in the next quarter.
Yes.
Have you identified then what model you're going to evaluate, what that evaluation process actually looks like?
So we tend not to be talking about what the specific models are that we are testing at what time because of the commercial sensitivities.
Okay.
And this is a live agenda that will evolve over time. And we will act where there is need to act collaboratively together. And we're already testing in the UK. So we've already begun testing both pre and post deployment following that landmark agreement at Bletchley. And what we are able to do is share that information and insight with the United States. And the MOU that we've signed formalizes that ability to share that information. And that's obviously a two-way street as the United States Institute gets established.
Can you walk me through what one of those evaluations looks like? Like, what do you look for? And when you find it, how do you address sort of anything that might potentially be a cause for concern or what have you?
So this is an evolving science. And with every evaluation that we do, we'll be fine tuning that process. And as I said, it's complementary and on top of the work that the companies are doing as well. But it's right that we don't just leave them to mark their own homework. So this is designed to be a secondary independent check by leading experts in their field on this agenda who do a series of red teaming and different evaluation protocols to try and look at the risks in a number of different category areas. So they do include societal harms. They also include autonomous systems of loss of control. They include areas that could be utilized for misuse and also areas that could present risks for things like cybersecurity. And we're looking at some of the gravest risks, especially. So areas like chemical and bio threats, for instance. And the idea is to ensure that what the companies have checked is watertight and that there is nothing else, especially utilising the national security information that we have as a government. And we will go through that process. We will then produce a big document, if you like, that will be an evaluatory report, which we'll send to the company, identifying any areas of potential risk that we have found. And then the company will come back having considered those risks. And there will be certain thresholds in which we would require actions to be taken.
We'll be right back. I was going to ask, you know, do you have the authority to sort of kick back at AI model and say, you know, take this back to the workshop that's not ready yet?
Or? This is, of course, a voluntary agreement that we have brokered, but one which the companies were willing to engage in and to sign up to. And so the spirit of that agreement is that if there are certain things identified, then certain mitigations would be put in place. Now, that depends on what thresholds we're talking about. If there was any risk to national security, then if your question is, would our government act? Absolutely. We wouldn't leave any stone unturned when it comes to dealing with national security, and we would ensure that action was taken. And that's at the heart of why we're doing what we're doing.
Have you had to do that yet?
No.
Not yet.
No.
And so with this partnership with the US, the idea is to have kind of a common approach to testing. Does that mean that the US is going to ideally or potentially follow this model that the UK is pioneering right now? Or what does a common approach look like when you ultimately have two governments that may pursue two different regulatory approaches here?
So I think a common approach is making sure that we're not duplicating, that we're working together in lockstep, and that we're sharing not only resource, but we're also looking at which bits can the US Institute focus on and which bits can the UK Institute specialize on, so that we're getting more bang for your buck and more, and we're much more efficient and effective, because this agenda is moving extremely fast. This technology is, as I said before, the fastest emerging technology we've ever seen. Many models will be coming out this year with capabilities that we don't even know yet. So what we want to be doing is maximizing our expertise and making sure that we are prioritizing safety in this agenda so that we can get the transformative benefits. And I think often when we talk about the safety aspect of AI, all the positives can be lost and that can become quite a negative conversation. But the reality is it's two sides of the same coin. And we already see in the UK the benefit that it's having in our NHS with detecting breast cancer earlier. It's utilized in over 90% of our stroke units. And the future is really limitless when it comes to the potential to draw down on AI and make sure that it is a driving force behind our public services. But that's only true if we've mitigated against those risks and that we've got a full handle on what those risks are. And no country can do that alone. We need to be working together collaboratively, both in terms of special agreements like we've signed today, but also in terms of international processes like the one that we established with the summit process.
Is there a scenario then where, you know, the UK finds issues with the model and that the US may not see, or vice versa? And have you discussed how you'll reconcile differences like that emerge?
Well, look, we have shared values. We have a deep and special partnership, and on many areas we see eye to eye. And this is an agenda where we have the same vision, the same focus, and we recognize how important it is. And that's why it's so important that we set up those commonalities, that we set up the areas that we are concerned about and the thresholds at which we would act and react. And that's why it's important that we share resource to look at these topics as well.
One debate happening right now in the U.S. is around funding for some of these AI initiatives, particularly Division of the Commerce Department called the National Institutes of Standard and Technology, or NIST, which is sort of the pioneering agency on AI for the Biden administration. As a global partner of the U.S., do you have any concerns for the U.S. to harness resources to actually sort of put the investment behind this AI research and testing that it needs to be effective?
So I've just come from a meeting with Secretary Raimondo, who is fully behind this agenda and appreciates how important it is and how it will be the defining technology of this generation. And we have to get this right. There is no other option in my mind. And I strongly believe that that is her view too. And that means not only dedicating financial resource, but expertise and attracting top talent and making sure that we are working collaboratively together so we're maximizing those opportunities. And the fact that we have signed this historic partnership today, the first of its kind globally, highlights the importance that both our nations place on this agenda. But it also highlights how we're leading the world on this agenda. No other countries have come together to sign an agreement of this nature. No other countries have got two institutes working hand in hand so that we can really tackle the safety risks to gain those benefits.
Is the goal to bring more countries into this ahead of the next AI safety summit in South Korea? Or what's the next milestone for you?
The next milestone is an important one of the summit coming up in South Korea in May, which is obviously only a little time away. And we will be utilizing that to build on the agreements that we made at Bletchley. And we see that that summit process is one that is long and enduring and keeps layering up in terms of the safety aspects. Now, in terms of our vision for the future of how this will look, because we know that a number of countries are setting up institutes or thinking about it, we see that as a network of institutes forming eventually. But I think that the United States and United Kingdom will act as the driving force behind that.
You know, the U.S. and the U.K. are both expected to have national elections by the end of this year. Who knows what will happen in those, right? But potentially there could be a new administration here in the United States or the United Kingdom or both. Mm-hmm. What's to stop this momentum that you've created from continuing if there's a change in leadership in one or both countries?
Well, of course, I believe very strongly that in the United Kingdom that that won't transpire. But what we have done is cement within our systems and processes a core belief and understanding of how important this agenda is. I personally brought on board experts from around industry and academia and civil society into the Institute and also into the department at large. So there is a greater understanding of this agenda. And we set up long-term processes that go well beyond party politics. The summit process has not just established the next summit, which is in South Korea, but the one after that, which is in France in January after both of our elections. So that is a long-term process that is in place.
Excellent. Well, Secretary Donlan, thank you for joining us again on Politico Tech.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley, and I'll see you back here tomorrow.